Welcome into the whole show powered by Chevron. We are live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Glad you guys could be here with us today on this Thursday. It's a big day, Angel. It's opening day in Major League Baseball. The Rockies going at it tonight against Arizona. Chipper's Lane's poll question of the day. Over, under, what is it, 60 and a half or is it 61 and a half? Over, under that, no, 60 and a half wins for the Rockies. And Angel, it sounds like you guys are all pretty optimistic for the most part. You're firing up the Rockies bus today, getting into it. And then we get this news, and this is part of the good, the bad, the ugly. So let's just go. The good, the bad, the ugly presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. And, well, just like that, the Rockies will be on television. They waited until, I mean, they barely got this done before the season. But here it is. Those of you wondering, you can watch on DirecTV. That's channel 683 on DirecTV. Xfinity, that would be channel 1262. Spectrum, which would be channel 130 or 445. Or Fubo. I have DirecTV. DirecTV just keeps coming in clutch for me, Angel. You know, I do not regret my decision to make the switch years ago from Comcast to DirecTV. So, how does this impact your world? You gonna be able to watch a little Rockies baseball starting tonight?
Yes, should be able to.
Yeah.
Double checked on that Xfinity channel and say it's kind of a sign-off graphic, but it says next telecast is tonight. Go fast forward to 8 o'clock and it's live MLB baseball.
There we go. Hey, I'm going to watch. I'm watching tonight. I'm excited. I might choose this over March Madness tonight. Where are you going? I mean, it's a late game for you, so you can only watch so much.
Probably want to watch some March Madness.
Okay.
I do have some interest tonight.
Yeah, you do. And, you have a lot of interest tonight.
Avs get back into action tonight as well.
Okay.
So, divided attention.
There we go. Nuggets lost to the Suns last night. That's my bad. 104-97. I mean, what are you going to do, man? Kevin Durant just had one of those nights. Was ridiculous. And, you know, it was kind of a strange game, but the Nuggets had an opportunity late. They kind of tried to make that comeback there, but Kevin Durant was special last night in this game.
Yeah, Phoenix really kind of dictated this game, and the Nuggets tried to, okay, we're just going to shoot a bunch of threes, I think 40 of them.
Yeah.
You're not going to outshoot Booker Durant and Grayson Allen, who apparently is just the greatest three-pointer.
Especially
ever.
Against the Nuggets. I mean, just he loves making threes against the Nuggets. They were 16 of 33. Grayson Allen was 3 of 7, Durant was 3 of 4, and you're right, the Nuggets 10 of 40. Yeesh.
That's not their game.
That's not their game. Let's not do that anymore. The ugly, I'm going to say it, and Tanner's going to hate it. I know Tanner was all on the bus and all this stuff, but I'm going to say the ugly is the fact that the news came out when about the TV deal. And I know, listen, I'm not going to be one of those guys that's like, oh, wow, they waited until the last second. The only reason I'm saying it's ugly, Angel, is what about all those people that already subscribed? Do you get out? Can you get out of that? Like, everybody in Rockies media was telling you, this is how you're going to be able to watch the Rockies. You got to subscribe to MLB TV, right?
Yep.
To get the Rockies package was $100. But what about all those people that went ahead and did that? And if that were me, I'd be pissed today. Because I have DirecTV, and I just forked over $100 to watch the Rockies. That's the only ugly part. I'm happy they got it done. You know, I'm thrilled about that, but I just think about the three people that actually subscribe to this, if they could figure it out.
Well, I mean, when they made this announcement, they were kind of like, yeah, we're still working on the TV thing. So I don't know if it was a foregone.
True.
Yeah, streaming's the only way you're going to watch. We all kind of just assumed that was going to be because there was no indication of any kind of TV deal. And yeah, this comes out early this morning. And it's like, oh, okay, well, we have it. Hopefully you took the 7-day trial. You know, hopefully you didn't do it until the season actually started.
Like Brian, is that what Brian did? He started it up and took the trial, and
I guess
it was before the season. I just wanted to make sure he had it. But they did get this done. I was reading an article last night in the Denver Post from Troy Rank, who sat down with Dick Bonford. A lot of interesting things in there from Dick. But he said at the end of this, at the end of the article, this is how Rank ended it. Dick Bonford said this: we are going to be on TV one way or the other. There you go. I mean, he saw it. He's a wizard. They got this done. And hey, that I'm thrilled by it. I'm going to be watching that game. It feels like I haven't got to watch the Rockies, even though it just starts tonight, because my mind was already telling me you're probably not going to get to see him. You're going to have to listen to him on KFKA, and that's fine. I'm going to listen to Jerry and Jack all day, but still want to watch this team. You get a better feel and a better understanding of who this Rockies team is going to be. So, yeah, very excited about that. Our Chipper's Lanes poll question of the day: over or under 60.5 wins for the Rockies. And on my X account, it's actually kind of right down the middle, 51%, almost 52% now saying over, and 48% saying under. Again, that doesn't mean you think they're going to go to the playoffs. That just means they'll be a little bit better than last year. And you're liking this team. You're feeling like this team could be a 500 team. And listen, I see why you're going there. I mean, there's Tovar, Jones, and Doyle. Like, those are guys you can build around. It's all going to come down to how does this pitching staff ultimately look? Can they be a consistently good pitching staff throughout the course of the season? Because it's not going to matter if Tovar's tearing it up, if Chris Bryant kind of makes a comeback. The dude's only played in 122 games of the possible 324 in the last 2 years. So that has been a rough look for the Rockies.
Yeah, and I'm optimistic because you have a lot of young, you have a good crop of young guys, and we've been asking the Rockies, hey, just, you know, stop with these old timers with Cargo and Charlie and all these just old guys they'd go sign or trade for, and now it's your guys that you've brought up within your system. They're just as upset at the 100 loss season as we are. We, you know, us fans, we want to win. The players want to win just even more. So, you know, I'm not going to day one, oh, the Rockies are already eliminated. Man, make your jokes. Yeah, it's easy to joke on them when they're down, but they got to come up at some point, and why not this year? This team has a different energy to it because it's, okay, we cannot be that bad again.
Well, you had young guys last year that I think people were at least, there was a silver lining there. If it were just a 100-plus loss team, but there were no guys where you looked at and said, yeah, that's going to be a playmaker. That's going to be a playmaker. They just signed Tovar to a 7-year deal, or extended him for a 7-year deal. So there are those positives, sure, that you can say, hey, I don't think it's going to be worse. Now, I don't really think it's going to be worse than last year. I said that to Tanner this morning on Good Morning NoCo. It can't be, right? It can't be worse than last year. There's no way you can be a two in a row 100 loss baseball team. Just can't happen.
I don't think it will. This team learned from it. They're frustrated, but you can't sulk about it and say, that was really bad. I guess this year will be the same. No, you have to approach it with a different mindset and say, no, we're trying to build something here, and yeah, it's not going to be easy, but let's go play some baseball.
And that's the way to look at it. Listen, I want to be positive, and I've changed my tune a little bit. It is opening day, so you want to be excited about this. And if the Rockies can just get this going again, man, think of what this state would be like. You know, I know the idea of dethroning the Broncos is just out of this world for everybody, and it's probably not going to be the Nuggets or the Avs. If it hasn't happened yet, I would imagine it's never going to happen. But the Rockies are the team. I mean, you weren't up here, Angel, around Rocktober all those years ago, and that showed you that this state could probably turn into a Rocky state. I mean, it showed you that. People were in love with this team, and that was a special year. So that's what I want to see is how excited can folks really get about the Rockies if they do become a consistently good baseball team? They've never been that. I think they made the playoffs 2 years in a row. Was it 17 and 18?
Yes.
That was it. And it wasn't like Rockies fever around that point. It was just, they were good enough to just get into the wild card, and then they won the next year. But I will be curious to see what the following actually looks like if the Rockies are just good. The year they got into, the year they went to the World Series was nuts. And that was when they won like 21 out of 22 games or something. So obviously, people are riding the high of a historic run to get you in there. So you just, part of my brain goes to, well, how much of it was just the Rockies at that time were making history? And obviously, I've never been to the World Series, so it was great. But I honestly think that people will get behind this team if they're good, if they find a way to be good.
Go to a game and there's Rockies fans everywhere. They're all over the place, of all different ages and sizes and all that kind of fun stuff. And yeah, you talk about the momentum of that kind of run kind of boosted up a little bit. But imagine if they were just consistent throughout the entire season. You could build that up throughout the summer, and then you get to late August, September, and they're battling for a wild card spot.
I stand by this. You know, the Rockies would turn this state into a Rocky state. You know, I think if you pit them up against each other, if it's Broncos that are good and the Rockies are good, I still think people would lean, you know, if you're doing a poll and you ask every sports fan, who do you like more, the Broncos or the Rockies? I think obviously more people would say the Broncos, but I think the Rockies could give them a run for their money. And especially if the Broncos keep going down this path, and listen, that's not going to get better anytime soon. Next year's going to be a long year for the Broncos, but this is where you got to take advantage of that. And they would, if your prediction comes true, if they're a 500 baseball team, that's enough for people to get excited about this crew.
Yeah, that's right where I have them, about 81 wins, 81 losses. And I would take that after last year, and I'm more optimistic because since the Nolan Arenado trade, I feel like this is the start of that new era of Rockies baseball.
Well, and this will be a big year for Bill Schmidt.
Right.
You know, the general manager, he's going into his third year, and Dick Monfort stuck with a guy on the inside when a lot of people like me were saying it's probably time to go get a fresh set of eyes, somebody on the outside that could come in. Well, Dick Monfort told Troy Rank about, you know, some of that stuff, Angel, and he said, hey, we interviewed a lot of guys from the outside, and they were interested, but he said a lot of their ideas, and I'd be so curious to know what those are, a lot of their ideas as far as how to win at altitude, he didn't like. That was why he stuck with Bill Schmidt. That's why he stayed in-house. And he was asked, like, are you too loyal to your guys? That's players included, because the Rockies are always re-signing their guys. Ryan McMahon, you just saw with Tovar, Charlie Blackman. They don't always go after free agents. I think they made a couple of moves this year going after the free agent side of things and then trades. But he was asked about being too loyal, and Dick Monfort said, I do worry I am. I am open-minded to everything, but if you have to be organic, you have to stick with organic guys, Monfort said. That's his way of doing it. He admits it. Hey, I'm loyal. I'm loyal, and I worry that maybe I'm too loyal. That's always been one of the knocks on Dick Monfort. And some people can respect that. You look at a guy like Charlie Blackman, I think more people would like to see him play baseball, whether he's really good or not. He's just a fan favorite. But those are some of the... I think those are some of the things that have hindered the Rockies over the years, is that Dick is more, he's one of those guys who just believes in his people. His scouts found these guys. I believe in my scouts, and I believe in the guys that you're telling me are going to be good, and he sticks with them probably a little too long sometimes. Will that ever pay off? But it was a fascinating read. He talked about Chris Bryant. The Chris Bryant thing. Chris Bryant, you know, came out. It was on social media, is on video and stuff, and he basically said, hey, I didn't do as much research into prospects as I could have. Now, Bryant has come out and addressed that, and he said that it was taken out of context. He addressed the issue with issues with teammates and Bud Black, and Dick Monfort said it's water under the bridge. He said, I believe Chris is all in. Quote, he has always been very positive. If you take the first year, what was going on coming out of COVID, signing late, a shorter spring training, he really had to be the guy, and he hustled to do it. It led to other things. Last year was sort of weird. Injuries. Chris has played a lot of games. The talent is there. I think playing him at first will also help. Yeah, he's going to be playing at first base.
Yeah, it feels like the Rockies have always been trying to replace their big-name guys, whether it was Cargo or Charlie. They tried it with Tulo, with a little bit with Trevor Story, and then that obviously didn't go well. But then they're left with Arenado. He's our guy. And then that doesn't end well. And you immediately bring in Chris Bryant to kind of be that Band-Aid over it, to take a note from the Broncos. And it's like, maybe he's just not that guy right now. And we have these young guys up here. Maybe Chris just needs to be more of the vet leader. Throw him over at first base, mm-hmm. have him be consistent over there, and let these young guys make this team what they want to make it.
Yeah, and the Chris Bryant thing, like, that was – that move is really going to haunt the Rockies for quite some time. And unless he can get back to kind of more of a winning form, that move is going to be one of them. That's going to be up there with the bad moves that the Rockies have made. The Nolan Arenado situation, I don't care who you blame on that one. It ultimately sounds like it's kind of 50-50. A little bit of Breidich, a little bit of Nolan. You know, Nolan sounded like he kind of wanted out of Colorado almost right after he signed that contract. You know, sending videos to players and saying to the Cardinals, saying, I want to be over there. Hey, we could play well together. It sounded like he was never really in, even after he signed that contract. But then again, the Rockies probably promised him, hey, you sign this contract, we're going to start building. We're going to start building this thing up. And Nolan didn't feel like they were on that path. Lonster is on the line. Long time no talk, man. How are you?
Hey, doing real well. How about yourself?
You know, I'm hanging in there. I'm kind of excited for the Rockies, but I'm also trying to be realistic.
You know, I'm trying to, too, but you know what? Well, it's kind of hard to do right now. I'm not quite sure what they're going to do.
Well, we've got Tanner running around here, and it looks like a Rocky threw up on him. He's doing cartwheels in the hall. He's so excited. So, you know, some of that's rubbing off, and that's never a bad thing to be positive, at least on March 28th.
Yeah, but just see what they do here the next few months, and then we'll really see what kind of team they really have. You
know? Well, and again, are we going to get in? Are they going to hook us? Are we going to get into that April thing where they're winning some games, and here we go, they're ahead in their division, it's looking really good, and then we get to May and June, and it just starts to get really bad. We'll see. They got to show us something probably in the month of May. I think April. Who knows? This is what the Rockies do. They're really good out of the gates.
Yeah, they're good, and then it's like watching your hot water tank go out, you know?
Yeah, well, that happens, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, whether you want it to or not, you know?
Over or under 60.5 wins, Lonster. Are they winning more than – are they going to win more than 60?
I'm going to go at least over a little bit.
Okay. How much over? Are they getting in the 70s?
I'd say 70.
All right. Well, that would be an improve. That would be a positive season for them. Not quite in the 500/wild card area, but it would be on the improve. And I think some Rockies fans would be good with that.
Yeah, really. And if they can get 500, I'll deal with that too, right there.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, 500 would be great. Would be amazing.
It would. Yeah. No kidding. You know.
Lonster, what's for lunch today, man?
I'm glad you asked. I'm going to have me some I've been going through my freezer, and I found some chicken tenders I'm going to have. So I'm going to have some Nashville chicken tenders.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. That sounds great. Putting some
great
sauce on there or anything?
You know, I don't put sauce on those things. They're hot enough as it is.
All right, my friend. Lonster, appreciate you. Happy opening day, my friend.
Hey, you do the same. Thanks.
24 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. That is the poll question of the day presented by Chipper's Lanes. Over or under 60.5 wins for the Colorado Rockies. If you're saying over, then let me know. What are you excited about? Who are you most excited to see play this year for the Rockies? Are you more excited to look at this pitching staff, or you want to see Tovar now that he had a year under his belt? Who's getting you pumped up?
I think it's Nolan Jones.
Yeah?
I think he's going to be my de facto, my guy, I guess.
That's your boy.
Yeah,
I can say that, right?
Tanner's got the Tovar bases covered.
Well,
baseball humor.
I'll give it to Tanner. Like
there's like the Tovar, mm-hmm. Doyle, Jones, and Diaz are probably like your four guys. Are going to be like your core.
That's your all star, right? I'll hand it to Tanner because Tovar very early on he was like, this guy's going to be legit. It was like a couple weeks
back
in
when he was in the minor leagues.
Yeah. So hey, Tanner knows his Rockies, man. He does, and I hope that this team doesn't let him down. Do they win tonight? How about that? Do they win the game tonight against Arizona?
I think they can. Obviously, Arizona's pitcher, Allen, he's very, very good, and they're probably going to do some kind of celebration for making the World Series, blah, 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 blah. But yeah, go in and ruin their good time. Rain on their parade a little bit if you can.
Get Freeland going tonight, right? He's starting.
Freeland's going tonight. Great quote. If you want the narrative to change the narrative.
Mm. And or kind of along the lines of Dick Bonford, and one of his quotes was, "You know, I can't debate with anybody because we lose. So all we can do is win a lot."
It's better than playing 500 baseball.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't give us a record. He didn't give us a number. He just said, we got to win. If we want to be able to, if Rockies fans want to be able to argue with people that are anti-Rockies, you got to find ways to win. People like me, you got to shut me up.
We talked about what would 100 losses mean to this team and this organization last year. I think you get the sense that it really kind of woke them up a little bit.
And this is kind of why at the end, Angel, it's like, what do you got to lose? I kind of think the 100, the three digits there almost shocks something out of you. Like, you're an embarrassment. This is the worst it's ever been, and this franchise has not been very successful, and you just hit the lowest point. Does that spark something with this group? 26 minutes after the hour. Short break coming up. Michael Porter Jr. spoke about his brother. He spoke about gambling in the NBA. We're going to talk about those comments more on the Denver Nuggets. And I'm tweeting, I'm begging Rams fans, stop every time a CU Buff enters the portal. Stop begging for him to come over here. It's not Nick Clifford. It's a different situation. We'll talk about that coming up as well. It's the whole show. We'll be right back.
Start your day with Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Ho on The Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
Yeah, especially the last few years, you hear more, you know, people in the crowd saying what they need you to score tonight or, you know, what they don't want you to score. Every night you're disappointing someone. You're disappointing the people if you score too much because they may have bet on your under, and you're disappointing people if you didn't score enough. So it's part of the game now. I think that it's obviously a dangerous habit. It's a dangerous vice for people. I think, you know, the love of money is the root of all evil. So I think that even though it is a thing, we as players just have to accept that. I don't think we should we get you know, paid a lot of money to play this game, and I know that people, these fans, they want to make some money as well. So if they want to put their hard earnings on us, you know, we appreciate that you put your trust in us, I guess. But it's definitely something that is kind of taking over the sports world. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. So, I mean, that's probably my comments on it.
Michael Porter Jr. talking about gambling in sports, and obviously he's asked these kind of things because his brother, Jonte Porter, is being investigated. He's under investigation by the NBA after multiple instances of betting irregularities over the past several months, sources told ESPN earlier this week. I thought Michael answered that the best way you could possibly answer that. You know, you don't want to say it's bad, it's awful, it's dumb, don't do it, because these are the fans. And the more they get into it, the more they gamble, the more viewers you have, the more money the NBA is going to make, which means the higher the individual contracts too. So Porter gets it. You know, I thought he handled all the stuff too about his brother. He said, I've known my brother my whole life. That's how he started. I know what type of dude he is, and I know he's excited to play basketball, and I highly doubt he would do anything to put that in jeopardy. Jonte Porter has yet to address the situation publicly yet. He's missed the past couple of Raptors games with the team citing personal reasons. Gambling in sports is crazy, man. It's nuts. And I've done it a couple of times, you know, a couple of bucks here and there. I don't bet big stuff at all. I mean, it's seriously like I'll put a dollar on something, but I found myself not really enjoying it. You know, I watched the game a little differently than I normally would. And I didn't like that. I didn't like the way I was analyzing the game after that. I didn't like the way I was excited about a certain thing to happen in a certain game. So I kind of got away from it for the most part. But there are a lot of people that do it for fun. You know, I know like Tanner enjoys it. Brian and Tanner talk about it quite a bit. But they do it for fun. There are a lot of people that do it. They get really into it, really serious about it. And that's all right, too. You know, as long as you can make sense of it. As long as you're not, you know, like Michael Porter, like MPJ said, you know, it can be very dangerous, and it can be, just like anything, if you overdo it. But what I don't like is how Porter's talking about, like, fans coming, you know, ripping a guy for, hey, this is what you need to score tonight. It's like,
hey,
dude,
Mike, I need two more free attempts. Yeah, come on.
I mean, jokingly, all right. But when guys get mad about it, and the NCAA came out yesterday and is saying, hey, what was their statement? I don't have that pulled up. Angel, see if you can spot that for me. But they're trying to, I don't know, they're kind of just working better with athletes and teams trying to help because guys are getting death threats. Pros are certainly getting death threats, but now collegiate players are starting to get threats and things like that if they can't score, if they miss a free throw or whatever.
Yeah, so NCAA President Charlie Baker posted a statement on X urging states to stop allowing prop bets on individual athletes. He said in his post, quote, continuing to threaten the integrity of competition and leading to student athletes and professional athletes getting harassed.
Do they do prop bets on college? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
I don't bet, so I have no idea. I mean, I imagine you can do overs, unders. And
you can do over, under, money line.
I think maybe on certain sites you can do prop bets.
Which I think is ridiculous if you're doing like prop bets in college.
Yeah.
You know, give me your money if you're doing that. If you're gambling, dude, the best player in college basketball can easily have a night where he's just off or whatever. And like Isaiah Stevens, how good is he? He had several games this year where it was like he had 8 points. So it's just the way the game goes sometimes.
It's basketball,
right? I think it can be, and again, the NCAA is saying this. Tanner's texting in. We don't in Colorado. We voted to bet on our local teams, but no prop bets in college. Thank you, Tanner. Other states do.
Yeah, so it's a state.
That's insane.
State by state thing.
That's insane. You know, that puts way too much pressure on these guys. And I get it. We're in the world of NIL. They're making money now, transferring. Not a lot of people are feeling sorry for these guys, but that's a rough look. A 19-year-old, you're going to play so on, hey, he's going to have over 8 rebounds in this game. That's nuts to me. I'm glad Colorado voted that down.
Yeah, and if some states allow it, some other states don't. But you could be in a state that does and say, I'm going to put a bet on North Carolina's player to have over 15 points, but I live in Idaho.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to go on Twitter and say, hey, why didn't you score 16 points, man?
Or message the guy.
Right.
Tag the guy, you know, on X. And we talked about this the other day when the Jonte stuff came out. It's not going away, gambling in sports, because there's just too much money in it. It's increased revenue for everybody. And I'm talking everybody, every sport.
It's on the little ticker at the bottom of your screen, overs, unders. Like, you see a game preview, here's the spread, here's the over, under, here's the money line. And then it's, okay, we're going to have an hour-long show on ESPN about what to bet on.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to tell you how to spend your money.
Yeah, and I jokingly will say stuff like, hey, I don't bet, but with your money, I would take Nikola Jokic to get the over or whatever. Again, that's at your discretion. If you have $5 to throw in the trash, then put $5 on Nikola Jokic to get the over. But I just think it's like with anything. Do I ultimately think it's good for sports? I do, but people abuse it. If it increases the interest and we have fun with it, like, we have a blast talking about it. You know, I mean, going back and forth on it. Hey, I love the over tonight. I think there's going to be a lot of points. That's fun. But when it gets to the point where it's dangerous and you're actually talking to a player about it, you used to do it for fantasy football or fantasy sports. Now it's betting. And then you hear everybody talk about it.
When we talk, you see, it's, you know, your personal choice to, you know, how you want to use your money. Use your money. But some people say, no, I'm putting $2,000 on this bet tonight.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Wow. That's nuts. I got 5 big ones on it, you know. It's crazy to me. $5.
Like that, now you're not even playing the game. You're risking your finances.
This is your you know, you need this to make rent now, probably. And again, there are professional gamblers out there that they study the hell out of this thing, but they treat it. I think a lot of those pros treat it with respect. Some do. I don't think they're messaging players. I know a guy personally that makes bank betting. Great guy. He is not the kind of guy that's going to message or tag a player and be like, what the hell? You just cost me my mortgage, you punk, blah, blah, blah.
Is it like maybe this weird mental thing where it's like, I got to feel a part of the game and part of the team, so I'm going to invest into it. Go buy a jersey if you want to invest in your team.
I think it makes things more interesting for some. You know, like I said, for me, it kind of did the opposite, and I think I'm weird that way. It kind of made me watch the game differently, and I didn't like that.
No, I mean, I grew up watching sports. Football mostly was whoever scores more points wins. That's what I care. It could be a one-point win. It could be a 20-point blowout.
Yeah.
As long as you win the game, that's what matters.
So this, but again, the only way gambling will be removed from sports is if we start getting a ton of stories like Jontay Porter. And like, again, he hasn't been found guilty of it yet. They're investigating it. But if we're going to get, I mean, you have in the major sports right now, I mean, last year to start the NFL season, how many NFL players were suspended for?
Several.
There was a lot, right? We kept hearing it. Mm-hmm. Well, to start the baseball season, what's being investigated right now?
Shohei Ohtani.
Now we're in the midst of basketball season, almost done, but into the playoffs, and we got a two-way contract guy being investigated for perhaps fixing games, his own games.
Man, it's on all different levels and different sports. You got a guy that's, as you said, on a middling guy, starters in the NFL, and then you have the face of Major League Baseball, who apparently hasn't bet on anything, but he's tied up in this that revolves around gambling.
It's a bad look. You know, even if Shohei comes out of this thing squeaky clean, this is now part of the gambling culture. Like, his name will be in it.
Baseball has a bad history of it.
Oh, one of their greats, Pete
Rose.
Hey,
Johnny, I hear they're throwing the game tonight.
What sport is easier to throw? I'm curious about that. What sport is easier to fix? Which one's easier to fix? Hockey's not, right?
No. Hockey is probably one of the more pure.
Well, you never hear anything about anybody messing up on game because you can't really slow down.
Right.
You're going to get killed if you do that.
I mean, baseball's tough. Like, there's a lot of different scandals in baseball, like the cheating stuff. Like, there was
slower.
The Astros were able to figure out a way to cheat it.
It's a slower game, and so that allows for more opportunities to do stuff.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, like, I didn't put my glove another inch lower, so the ball got past me. Whoops.
Well, Tanner's pitching, obviously, and pitching in baseball. Guys are putting ointments and stuff all over themselves to be able to throw a better ball.
Yeah, and, you know, maybe the umpires would say, actually, no, that was a little outside, but strike one.
I think baseball is. I think you're probably right. It's the easiest one to fix. Basketball, I mean, if a ref is fixing a game, like, what's his face? Then Donahue, then it might get obvious at times. You might start to go, oh, man, that wasn't even a foul call. And then you get this, you know, history of that.
We look, hey, you had 40 free throws and they had like 15.
Right. There's big discrepancies in that. Dustin texting in, baseball by a mile to fix, LOL. Derbis texting in, that's Derbis, not Dustin. Yeah, I would say baseball. Yeah, that's the easiest one for sure to fix up.
No, it's like, oh, you let the home run go. Well, I kind of waited a second or two before I started running.
Well,
I probably could have caught it at the wall.
And it is, basketball's easy to fix if you're doing unders, though.
Oh, yeah.
Just fake a tummy ache, like allegedly Jontay did.
Coach, my eye hurts. Ah. Look, how many fingers? I can't tell you.
You have to register a minute, though, don't you, I think, or something? I think you have to be listed in the lineup.
I think it's like a 5-minute minimum.
Is it really?
Which is why he went out with like 4 minutes.
Oh, I
can't. Which brings up, what happened with Draymond yesterday?
Oh, my gosh. What is happening with that situation?
That team or just Draymond?
Draymond. I mean, the guy can't fix it.
I watched the video. I'm like, I guess he just said some things, but he didn't do anything super egregious. He just yelled at the ref for one foul and then just kept yelling at him. I don't know if he got a warning or not, but 2 texts and he's gone.
Well, was that the day after he did the other thing, or was that during? He like, strangled.
If not 2 days after.
I mean, when does the NBA come in here and say, we have a problem? This guy can't control himself. Like, you can do all the like, who's his therapist? Who's this person that's trying to work miracles with Draymond Green?
I have no idea.
And I'm a guy that I
hire a new one.
Yeah. Go get Dr. Phil in there, man. Like, I liked Draymond Green. I always enjoyed his game. I thought he was rough and tough and nasty, and he kind of reminded me of basketball players in the 90s. But the last couple of years, it's like, dude, you're just out of control.
It's unnecessarily violent.
It's too much. And, you know, he keeps apologizing, and he keeps saying on his podcast, it just can't happen, is what he said on his Draymond Green show. I said what I said. I deserved to be kicked out at that point. If I'm all the way honest with y'all, kind of was trying to turn my body and angle it to the bench, but I said what I said a little too soon before angling my body. But yeah, it just can't happen. Well, when does the NBA take this seriously? He was chirping at this ref all night, and with his history, the guy, you think all it's going to take is split second for him to get pissed off and then attack somebody.
We know the refs have their magic words that you just can't say.
Yeah.
Maybe they're in English, maybe they're in Serbian. I don't know.
He Green has been ejected 4 times this season, and this is his second one where he was ejected in the first quarter. How do you get ejected in the first quarter?
4 minutes in.
How does that happen? He is the first player to be ejected at least 4 times in a season since Kevin Durant was tossed 5 times in 18. That's according to ESPN. He's had 19 regular season ejections. That's the second most in NBA history over the past 25 seasons behind Rasheed Wallace. 46 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, I want to get into the Nico watch, the latest on Nico Medved, any news there with Oklahoma State. But first, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
Well, transfer portal keeps going here. Let's take a look at a few things. A couple of CSU guys now jumping in that portal. Oh, man, Jack Payne is entering the portal. I don't know if you saw him, Angel. He checked in when the Rams were smoking Virginia. He's the mustache guy. Looks like Larry Bird. I think he's a fan favorite. I heard he was an amazing golfer as well. Tavi Jackson just entered the transfer portal for CSU. That was a guy that had a lot of promise, but just, maybe one of those guys that just needs a change of scenery. So there you go. Colorado State's getting them. CU's got them going. And I had to go on X last night, Angel. I just kept seeing it with my Rams followers. And every time, Eddie Lampkin enters, there's 4 million GIFs and memes of, come over here to CSU. And then Javon Hadley entered the transfer portal, and it's like, hey, come on over to Fort Collins. St. Thomas entered the portal. And that's realistic. I can see why you're doing that. That's realistic. That would be an upgrade for him, although I think if he's going to stay in the state, listen, Rams fans, don't take this the wrong way, but you're going to. What is the bigger school opportunity for a basketball player in this state? Is it Colorado or is it Colorado State?
And who may he get a personal reference from?
Yeah. Well, you talk about collectives. I got a story that I'm going to get into today. Primetime is leading that, man. He's going to get that. He's going to help that thing rock and roll. Denver Post or the Colorado did a story on it. So I'm going to hit that later on. But just like Rams fans, listen, Neat Clifford, that made sense. He's a guy that played a few minutes. Some nights he was really good. Some nights he was whatever. Didn't really fit in the grand scheme of things. He probably got wind of that. And then he goes to CSU and he's a starter. So that made sense. All right, let's take a break. 52 after the hour. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Mr. 700 Plus Wins is on KFKA. Coach Speak with Coach Bruce Dick. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, busy back half of the show in the 12 o'clock hour. Tanner's going to pop in here. He's going to tell us why we should believe, why we should be all in on this Rockies team. So we'll get into that. Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos is going to join me in the third hour of the program. We're talking all things Broncos, and maybe the Raiders are trying to get aggressive here. They're not happy with their quarterback situation. So we'll get into all that and more. Top story of the day coming up next.